Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is great. And we are so thankful that we are together again, praising the Lord. Father, we lift your name on high. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration, God. We thank you for every good blessing that you have poured out in our lives. And Father, one of those blessings is just the opportunity to gather together as your children on today, God, and to be able to hear the greetings, hear the voices, and then, God, to pause to hear your voice. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, a judge was a ruler over Israel in the period after Joshua died and before Israel had a king. Now, a judge was a military leader chosen by God to rescue the people from their enemies. However, in addition to that, a judge was also someone who presided over legal hearings, similar to a judge today, and they were to establish justice and to restore, or in other words, resurrect the practice of God's law among God's rebellious people, the Jews. Remember, during the time of the judges, the people were doing what was right in their own eyes. So, given that this was the role of a judge in order to restore justice and the practice of God's law among the people, it means that the judge was also to be a moral and a spiritual leader. So, given this fact, this makes the story of Samson even more tragic. You see, the Bible says that Samson ruled over Israel as judge for 20 years. Now, can you believe that? 20 years. Samson was not only to fight Israel's enemy, the Philistines, and free the Jews from their domination, the domination of the Philistines over Israel, but as judge, Samson was to lead the people back to serving God instead of doing what was right in their own eyes. But Samson, how could you possibly resurrect the people who are rebellious if you too are rebellious, playing around with the enemy, with Philistine women? It seems to me that Samson could not have been very effective in his role of judging the people, telling them what's right and wrong, and then leading them to do the right when he himself was doing the wrong. We call that being a hypocrite. Samson's walk did not align with his talk. But before we get to throwing stones, what about you and I? What are others saying about us? What is our reputation among the people, sinners as well as saints? Do they consider you and I a hypocrite, or are they able to call you a man or a woman of God? Yes, now it's true that we can't always go by what people say, but by the same token, our work must speak for us because our reputation among the people is important. If you have a good reputation, does that mean then that people seek you out for godly advice? Do others ask you to quote unquote judge their situation and give them guidance, leading them in the right direction, because you are also walking in that direction? Therefore, they can consider you as an authentic man or woman of God, and therefore seek out your advice when they are in need. Now, it doesn't mean that you or I are perfect. No one on this earth is, but are you striving to the best of your ability to have your walk and your talk be in alignment so that that criticism of hypocrisy is not leveled at you. See, with Samson, this was his final tragic account of Samson's life and ministry. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." Oh my. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people, so that Samson killed more people when he died than he had done during his entire lifetime. Later, his brothers and other relatives went down to Philistine territory to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. And then it says this, Samson had judged Israel for 20 years. Now imagine that for a moment. Imagine 20 years having a hypocritical leader like Samson ruling over you. It reminds me, though, of the evangelicals who support the immoral, corrupt leader in the White House. How can they say that they stand for the right, that they uphold the word of God, and at the same time be openly supportive of someone who does not hold to any of the principles in God's word that you say that you believe in? By any standard, that is hypocritical. How then can you tell others? How do you say to members of your congregation, how do you tell the unsaved, do not lie, do not cheat, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, treat one another with love and kindness, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good? How can you then judge others and try to lead others in the right when you are supporting someone who is obviously to everyone in the wrong? Like Samson, these evangelicals have lost their moral authority to, quote unquote, judge what is right and wrong. People cannot and will not listen when on one hand you say that abortion is wrong because you're killing a baby, when you support ripping babies from their mothers after they are born with no intention of reuniting them, thereby killing these babies emotionally and psychologically every single day for the rest of their lives. How can you condone such cruel, inhumane acts? How can you lock up children in cages? Understand, God is not pleased when he sees these things. How do you support taking food out of the mouths of babies and children by reducing the amount of money and assistance appropriated for food stamp and welfare, but giving big, huge tax cuts to the rich? God is not pleased. Understand, let me say this, and let's be clear. God has always been concerned about the poor. In Proverbs 22 and 9, it says, blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor. The Bible also says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. God is concerned about the poor and those who are in need. And then Proverbs 24 in verse 16 goes on to say, a person, listen to this, A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor and by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty. You see, Jesus wanted to get this message across to this rich young ruler who approached him in Matthew chapter 19. This is what he said. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus had moral authority to say these things because Jesus led an upright life. But this young man says, I've obeyed all these commandments. What else must I do? So listen to Jesus. If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to whom? The poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But, oh no, when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. But I like to say it this way. The possessions had him. He loved money more than he did people. He loved money more than he wanted to do the right thing. He loved money. That's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money itself, we know that, but the love of money. Because we know that we need money. We all need money to take care of ourselves, to take care of our families. However, when money becomes the number one thing in our lives, that's when it gets into dangerous territory. You see, after Samson had judged Israel for 20 years, and apparently, now, the Bible doesn't give us the details of his 20 years, but the points that it does give us about his involvement with these Philistine women tells us that Samson did not live according to the dictates in God's word. So, after Samson judged Israel 20 years, God raised up another judge to lead the people. Do you know who that judge was? Oh my goodness, it was Eli. Yes, Eli the priest was also judge of Israel for how long? 40 years, 40 years, twice as long as Samson. Now, you would think that a priest would get it right, that he knew the right thing to do, and more importantly, that he would do the right thing and then lead the people from doing what was right in their own eyes to doing what was right according to God's word. But this was the problem. The sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. And they also were seducing the young women who were assisting at the temple. So did Eli, the priest, and the judge remove them from the office as the ruler should have done? Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. He did not do that. And so God had to deal with this corruption, but he dealt with it in due season. And likewise, God is going to deal with the corruption in our nation in due season. And that is why we as God's people must pray. So that is our call to action today. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders, because we are in desperate situation when our leaders turn away from God and go astray and then lead the people astray. So pray, pray, pray today, and have a terrific Thursday. God bless you richly. Peace and blessings. Shalom.